pastor's been giving us the direction that we're going to be going into. And many of us, are we soldiers? When they say, who I am, are you a soldier on the battlefield? Last week we sang that song, I'm going to be on the battlefield. And said, then he said, I'm going to treat everybody right. Are you treating everybody right? And so when we look to be a child of God, you know you're going to go through some stuff. Amen. And God told you you're going to go through some stuff, so he said, suit up. Put on the whole armor of God. And that's what we're going to talk about, that armor of God. And as we look at this, we're going to focus on some things. Pastor talked about six things that we're going to do with God's word. We're going to hear God's word. We're going to read God's word. We're going to memorize God's word. We're going to meditate on God's word. We're going to study God's word. And we're going to apply God's word. And today we're going to focus on hearing God, applying God's word. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And I just want to write these down as notes. Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, and Luke chapter 22, verse 39 and 44. I just want you to write those down as footnotes. Again, Ephesians 6, 16, James 2, 17 and 18 for notes, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, and Luke 22, 39 and 44. And I tell you this little joke, we were going to look at suing the AT&T guy. Y'all ever heard, seen that commercial? Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now? Yeah, y'all ever seen that commercial? You hear me now? See, I know they had to get that from a black family. I know they probably had got that from my family. Because I can remember being in the bedroom. It was a lot of us in the bedroom. We had bunk beds and kids jumping around and grandma in the room. Y'all need to stop that. Then she yell again, y'all hear me? Y'all need to stop that. And granddad heard grandma said, and she said, y'all need to stop that. And we were just going, and somebody had the sense to say, we were just jumping around. We hear you. And we just kept jumping around, and granddaddy got that belt. Came into that room, and he put hands on everybody. And as he walked out the door, I could hear him say, can you hear me now? So some of us need to get touched so we can hear God now. See, so we're going to go after the AT&T people because I know that's where they got it from. So we talked about putting on the full armor of God. And the part of the armor of God that we're going to look at is the shield of faith. As we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, matter of fact, and starting at 13, it said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil days, having done all to stand. And verse 16 says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked. So I come to ask you, tell you that the shield of faith comes in many forms. See, the shield of faith can come in form of a warrior. He uses it to keep his personal protection. Just like for my young ones, y'all see Captain America. You see the warriors and you see Captain America, he's got his shield. Nobody can penetrate that shield. And it also comes in the form of a force field. I mean, any guys seen the Incredibles? I think her name is Violet. She has a force field that covers her and her family to keep all the stuff that's coming at them. And if you're back in the day, you may remember Green Lantern. He used to have his ring and he used to put the force field around them. And the faith also comes like that force field. If you remember Star Trek, he says shield up. And then Scotty would get, shields are at 10%, Captain. And you remember when he said shields up. Yeah. See, and also the shield comes like that shield that was over Rwanda in the Black Panther. See, that shield that just covers them all, that protects them from the world. See, sometimes that shield of faith, People don't know what's going on the inside because you got that shield of faith covering you on the outside. See, and that's what we got, that shield of faith. It comes in many forms. For we know that even the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. See that shield of faith comes in many, many forms. All you need to do is have it. And you definitely have to use it. So I preached before to you. I told you, shields up one time. See, how are we supposed to use this shield of faith? But what happens? What happened to our faith? And I'm talking to the church now because I'm talking to some believers. What happened to our faith? Have we lived so long that we put faith down and didn't think we needed it? Have we been blessed so much that we forgot the shields were needed? See, I'm talking to our strong Christians now, and this is the question I want to ask you, is what do you do with your shield when God comes and say no? I'm talking to you as Christians now, when God says no, and that's the title is exercising our faith when God says no. See, you don't realize, I want you to realize that English term, no, is something that's missing out of our English language today. And we need our grandparents and our great-grandparents to show our parents how to use that word, no, and help them understand. See, I can remember no. See, granddaddy used to tell you no, and no meant no. And he used to tell you, if you didn't understand, boy, I'm not going to chew my fat twice. That means I'm going to tell you one time. So we know that if we put our shields down, our shields of faith down, you know what? A shield is just a shield if you don't use it. And let's go to James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And 17 and 18, God is talking about what we need to, James is talking about what we need to do with faith. Because we know by God's grace, through faith, we have salvation and we're going to heaven. But God said you need to do something with it now. And James chapter 17 and 18, it says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show ye thy faith by my works. In other words, you got to have faith, and you got to do something with it. See, tell your neighbor, faith without works is dead. And tell your other neighbor, faith without works is dead. See, now let me ask you this, because we're in here. I'm going to ask you, have we taken the faith out of the temple? Have we taken the faith out of the temple? And have we been blessed so much that we forget that God has given us one of the most powerful tools, our faith, to move forward on? We want to do everything by our works. And I'm guilty of it. I want to work this. I want to do this. I want to do that. Sometimes, even more, I say, be still. Somebody else got it. You can't do it all. Sit down. You got to have faith that God's going to take care of it. If he had me in the accident, this church will still go on. His word will still go out. So you got to have some faith that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. See, I've heard a few times, have we got to the point where we treat God like Santa Claus, where we want this and we want that. And then God has the audacity sometimes to tell us, no, then we act like a little ruined child. I got 50 toys for Christmas, but I didn't get the one that I'm looking for, and I act like a petulant child. Sometimes as Christians, that's what we do. He blessed us all day long. He said no one time, oh, I done lost my faith. I done lost, where did my faith go? He just said no. He's only going to give you three answers. Yes, no, and grow. He's only going to give you those answers. So what do we do with our faith? That when we hear that word, that old English word, you know what? That English word is so powerful that it's the same and fit 520 languages. If I told you in Japanese, it would be no. If I told you in Portuguese, it would be no. If I told you in German, it would be no. Every country, 500 words, no means no. And when God tells us no, he means no. You got to understand something. It says, but he's working it out for your good. So when no means no, see, what do we do with that faith when God tells us no? See, we need to learn, and I say exercise. Say exercise. If you exercise, is what you do in practice, you do on the field. And we need to practice and exercise our faith. We need to exercise our faith. And the first thing that you need to do when God tells you no is you got to understand something. Number one, you got to understand you're not the only one he told no. You're not the only one. So you got to remember Job. In Job in chapter 4, verse 10 through 14, Jesus told him no. He was a faithful servant. He followed God. He did everything God asked. All he wanted was an answer. But God told him no. God took Paul, this faithful servant, this apostle who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He went to God, and you know what God told him? No. Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, who was sinless, went to him on the Mount of Gethsemane. He said, can you take this cup from me? God answers, no. So you got to, number one, understand you're not the only one that he said no to. And it's all right. See, there appeared an angel up to Jesus when God told him no. And see, he went back a couple times. The angel came to strengthen him. Then he went back. And so sometimes we're going through some stuff. We're praying hard. Lord, we need you right now. Sometimes people say you can make God do what you want them to do. I'm telling you, they're lying. God, Jesus prayed fervently. He prayed fervently where blood was coming out of his eyes. God's going to do what he's going to do because he's a sovereign God. And he says, no, you may not understand it, but you'll understand it better by and by. So sometimes, even though we're asking God hard, we're asking God over and over and over again, sometimes he just says, no. And see, and the second thing you need to do is exercise your faith by understanding there's some reasons why God says no. And if you were here at corporate prayer last time, you'll realize when God says no, it's okay. You can praise God for saying no sometimes. Because if he gave you everything that you wanted, you will be a mess. So we got to understand if you look at Job, see, Job want he wanted Job to endure to the end. See, there was a God-sized reward for Job at the end. See, Job, he had to endure some things. See, sometimes when you're going through something, it's not about you. Sometimes when you're going through something, it's for the world to see that my God can do it all. It's not about me. It's about my God. See, he told Paul no, because he told Paul, and for everybody to understand, Paul said, can you remove the thorn out of my flesh? He said no, because my grace It's sufficient. See, sometimes we forget God has given us everything we need. His grace is sufficient. We don't want him to think we want if God let us do it and we move when we want him to move, it will be us telling God. We will be the God and he would just be the puppet. If we can tell God what we wanted to do. God wants us to understand sometimes it's not about you, and sometimes even for Paul, he said, I'm going to tell you no because you'll get beside yourself if I told you yes too much. And you can tell, look at our leadership, that people that got a little power, they get a little bit beside themselves. Some of our kids, when they get a little freedom, they get a little bit beside themselves. You know, and now I got to grow, and I know because sometimes now I know it. Oh, boy, you get a little bit beside yourself. Now I understand what they're talking about. So sometimes we got to, God says no, so we won't get beside ourselves. And God says no because I made perfect in your weakness. See, sometimes when somebody's laying in the hospital bed on death's end, There have been many of them that have been able to spread the gospel and show others that even though I'm weak, I'm going through something, you need to know the God that I know. That's a powerful testimony for them. So sometimes God will tell you no because he's made perfect in your weakness. So you got to understand those are the reasons why God says no. And you may not understand it now, but you'll understand it better by and by. God told Jesus no because he said, you got a mission. You got a task at hand. You got something to do. Church, I just stopped by to tell you on my journey home, we got some work to do. God has allowed us to live today because he's got some work for us to do. So when you're being tested by trials and tribulations, when people are talking about you, when people are lying on you, they're trying to break you at home, they're trying to break you at work, even when your close friends like Joe start talking about you, they don't see your vision, you got to stop just like Job and say, my God, sometimes it will put you on your knees. Sometimes it needs to put you on your knees because you haven't been on your knees in a long time. Sometimes God will say, I need to talk to you. See, when things are going good, it's hard for us to hear. It's like when music is going on, it's hard for us to hear. But when the music stops, we can hear clearly now. That's when God said, can you hear me now? He said, I'm going to sit you down. Over a year ago, he put me in the hospital. He said, I'm going to sit you down. Can you hear me now? He puts you beside still water because he wants you to say, can you hear me now? Yeah. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Why? Because he wants to say, can you hear me now? Sometimes God's got to sit you down. Sometimes God's got to put you in your place so you can hear him now. So when you got faith, you just need to understand sometimes you got to use that faith and say, Lord, I hear you. You got to get that faith and say, Lord, I'm dependent on you. Lord, you told me no. I know there's a reason why you told me no. See, when you have thorns in your flesh, when you've been hit by little darts of evil, little nasty little words that are coming at you. See, when you got pains and scars to show the world, you know, I've been through some stuff. That's why God leaves that scar when you see people get heart attacks. I seen this young lady and I was like, man, she was going to her prom. She had a little scar there and I was looking. I said, man, she didn't cover up her scar. And you know what? I looked at it and said, thank God. She didn't come with a prescription. She can tell somebody, I'm here today because God's got something for me to do. See, sometimes God gives us some scars so we can take it about and say, look, I've been through it. I've done did it, but God has brought me through. See, sometimes even our bosses and our children, and they don't understand what we're going through. See, some of y'all are going through some agony and some pain. You lost some loved ones. I don't know that pain, but somebody knows that pain and that agony. See, when you lose a child, you go talk to my God, because he lost his only child for you and me. He understands what you're going through. So sometimes that agony leads you on your knees, where he says, I'm made perfect. When you're on your knees, I'm made perfect in your weakness. Because in our weakness is when we call upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our weakness, we call his name. And in our weakness, we can hear him now. In our weakness. See, you got to remember, see, when you're going through the storm, when you don't know why, you don't know how to get out of it, when the pain's too tough, you've been on your knees all day, you're praying for your daughter, you're praying for your granddaughter, they're going through stuff, we know it hurts you because they're going through it. When you've done all that you can do, you got to get on your knees and remember. When he said memorize the word, you got to remember what Jesus did. When he got on his knees, he went back three times. He cried, said, can you take this cup from me? After God said no, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Sometimes we got to realize it's not us. It's not all about us. We're going through something, but God is not my will, but your will be done. You got to be like Jesus. Get your shield. You get up. And he said, we got to go. We got work to do to get your shield of faith. And Lord, God's going to be there when nobody else is there. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. To get your shield sometime. Temple of faith, get your shield. And let's get ready, because there's work to be done. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.